I'd like now to welcome to the show Dan Hoyle. He is an actor, writer, and performer. His one-man show, The Real Americans, is coming to Santa Fe this Friday and Saturday, October 15th and 16th at the Lensic Performing Arts Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about how this show came together. You left San Francisco to travel to many small towns in America. What were you looking for, and what did you find?
Well, it really started in the brunch cafes of San Francisco, eating overpriced brunch and talking with my friends who were saying, you know, hey, you guys want some of this fruit compote? The pears are house-braised and the syrup was sustainably raised on reclaimed industrial land in Detroit by an alternative girls' school for children of the Taliban. Go ahead, Pete. Who knew saving the world could be so delicious? Actually, Dave, we're politicizing people one meal at a time.
Hey, you guys like my new shoes?
Those are sick, Marlene. I love that mushroom green color. It's, like, so ugly that it's pretty. And so I'm here with my friends and sort of drowning in sort of urban, liberal, yuppie waters and looking for some tough country wisdom. So I bought a Ford van with a bed and back and a fridge and set out to travel through small-town America and get some of that tough country wisdom.
And so what did you find? Did you find the wisdom you were looking for?
I did at times, but what I found more was some of the sort of populist anger that is so much in the news now. Angry at the country that their direction, the direction of the country is going. And so this was, you know, difficult for me because I had hoped to create this sort of Valentine to small town America, and in fact what I was finding was something much more complex. So so the show then becomes sort of this back and forth between sort of the two Americas that I think are sort of have grown very, very far apart from each other, and I'm sort of bringing them on stage, and drama and comedy ensues.
The much-talked-about anger that you refer to among, let's call them, anti-Obama Americans, what does it look like, first of all, and on a deeper level, how do you understand it?
Well, it's funny, you know. There's one character who says he's a brunch character. Actually, I'm telling him, yeah, it's difficult. And he says, Dan, yeah, I could have told you. You know, I mean, look, the economy's gone. You know, it's been gone. You know, these guys get a job out of high school, a boat to get drunk on every weekend. You know, all the black people called them sir. Their children going off to college. Now what? You know, only Walmart's hiring. There's all these brown people around willing to work harder for less. Maybe your mayor's black. Your daughter can get an abortion. They don't pray anymore at school. They just pass out condoms. And, oh, yeah, men in Iowa are getting married. Yeah, heck yeah, I can't wait for the rapture. And he's being really flip, but essentially what he's talking about is that for some of the country, they aren't happy with what's been happening, the direction that America is going, and it's you know, there's definitely economic issues going on, you know, the manufacturing base and the agricultural farming communities have been, you know, really been pulled the plug on over the last, you know, 30 years, and then there's also social issues, you know, and it's funny because you hang out in liberal cities, and all people can talk about is, oh, God, it was so bad under George Bush. I'm going to go to Europe. Well, no, I'm not, but I'm just going to threaten it. And then you get out there, and people are talking about that the country's become more liberal. So it's an interesting time, I think.
Sometimes when these conversations happen, and I'm so glad you're doing this performance because I think it's very important and very relevant and something I've been thinking about a lot, but sometimes when these conversations happen where people say, I don't like the direction the country is going, from the point of view of the so-called real Americans who are in your play, I really wonder how much of it is coming from a deeply held sense of values and analysis and how much of it is kind of received wisdom from Fox News and talk radio and things of that ilk. Could you get a sense of that?
I think it's there's probably a little bit of both. It's funny because what I went out to get when I was hanging out in these, you know, drowning in San Francisco yuppie liberalism, I went out and what I was thinking about is just a few weeks before I had been hanging out in small town Wisconsin, and this guy, he was talking to me and he was saying, you know, oh yeah, before that I was in Iraq, first Gulf War, 91. The people over there, totally freaking different. Robes, everybody's wearing robes, going on a la, no beer nowhere. Imagine a society with no beer. I'd start blowing up stuff too. So you know, there's a great delight as well in talking to people. And you know, I'd be hanging out in small town Alabama, and this guy looks at me and says, "You ever notice terrorists never mess with Alabama? They're smart in that way." And his girlfriend says, "I mean, Dan, it's like, I mean, Alabama, that's a good thing about it. I mean, what is there to blow up?" So people have a great sense of humor, too. And throughout my time and talking to people, the other huge thing that was happening was incredible hospitality. Crash in our yard here, you know, have another burger, have another beer. Sometimes people didn't drink, so they, you know, I say, "Hey, you want a beer?" "That's a joke. We don't drink." "They're making more iced tea." But the hospitality was so strong. So it was a very interesting mix of feeling sometimes very alienated in terms of worldview, but at the same time incredibly welcome just on a basic human level.
One thing that I appreciate from just what I've seen so far, I haven't seen the whole work yet, and I haven't seen your other pieces, I'm so looking forward to it, but is that you really do these little portrayals of people without caricaturing them. I mean, you present them in the way that they speak, which I think is important, not to get into a judgment. And in fact, you turn your lens on everybody, as we have just heard.
Sure. I go around and I really try to understand the world through the eyes of people living it there, and put that on stage and sort of allow the audience to make their own ideas based on what I'm finding. And, you know, obviously I'm a playwright as well, so I work a lot with this raw material and create a narrative. Sometimes I need to do even more. There's a character, Jack, who's a mechanic in Kentucky, and he speaks with such an intense accent. Sometimes it's hard to pick up. He says, "Man, a lot of people here don't have to stop working. Where you go, you ain't going no more. When you stop working, that's quitting. Pretty much that means you're fixing dying, don't it?" And so for him, I help people out with some super titles, actually.
Right.
But, I think it is important to get to know people, and I try to do that for people that can't necessarily buy a van and spend 3.5 months driving around the country.
Now, you are an incredible craftsman, I think, both as a writer and as an actor, with a true, both, I think, gift and long-time study of what would you call it, mimicry or imitation, or really getting people's body language and speech patterns and inflections and so on down.
Thank you.
Do you use videotape? What's the process of crafting this performance like?
So I go out. I only use audio, I just find for some reason that it's easier. It's more comfortable, and I can still exist in the moment of the interaction. I often say our brains are like computers, and I think there is some evolutionary benefit to being able to take in somebody and reproduce their behavior or their mannerism, something like that. I don't know that we have to do it so much anymore to survive, but so I think we all sort of have that talent, so I sort of work on that. But I take notes, I record people, I come back, and then I start working on. I usually start with the voices, and then I go into the bodies and work in front of a mirror, then work with my director Charlie Varon and do workshop performances, and really try to create these characters from the ground up, sort of inspired from often several different people that I've met on the trip.
What is it like to perform, or have you performed, in the communities from which you've gathered the characters?
I haven't had the opportunity yet to do that with this show. My previous show, Things They Happen, was about Nigerian oil politics. I spent 10 months in the Niger Delta oil-producing region of Nigeria, where the U.S. gets one-fifth of its foreign oil. And then the State Department sponsored a tour back in Nigeria, so I played five Nigerian cities, and that was a hoot, because it, all of a sudden, here's this white guy from the other side of the world performing their lives, and it was actually pretty inspirational. You know, I would do the policeman taking the bribe at the checkpoint, and everyone would just, hey, that's us, that's what's happening. But that show started in 2007, so it took a while for me to able to go back to Nigeria. This show, I just started this year, so I haven't yet had an opportunity. But I look forward to it. I think that I try to make my shows as entertaining as possible, and I want people to laugh a whole bunch and maybe cry, but then leave the theater with really thinking about what it means to be living at this time in a deeper way.
It's funny, you I think on your website and various places, and so many people do this, characterize places like San Francisco and Santa Fe and Berkeley and Austin and Cambridge and so on as bubbles, as liberal bubbles. And I've come to object to the metaphor of bubble, because, you know, bubbles are fragile and pretty and ephemeral and unstable. And these cities are really like magnets, you know, they're centers of learning, they're growing and dynamic, and people from a lot of these small towns that you visited, if they can get out, they do, and they come to these places. Very few people go, as you did, to these small towns and really listen to them. And I guess what I was wondering was, from your point of view, looking at these so-called two Americas, these people who don't understand each other and who are politically and culturally separated in a lot of ways, what do you think it would take for more understanding and friendship to occur?
Well, I hope also the place serves as a sort of an inspiration for people to take their own trips. I think it can't do anything but good. There's one character I meet out in small town Ohio who's actually a Dominican from New York, and he's like, "Oh, hey, yo, ma, do." He can't believe we meet up again, you know, because yo, ma, is me, Ramon, yo, ma, do. And you know, he gives this whole quite a fascinating story about his encounter with someone in a coffee shop, and it's all about sort of what being an American is in today's day. But the end of the day, he's like, "Yo, Madu, you got to come back to New York. I try to tell people out there, they don't believe me, right? Most people, they just like to fly." And I think that's true. I think that and oftentimes, even if people drive, you just go from interstate, you know, city to city. I made a point of trying to get off the interstates and take some of the back roads. And there's still so much rich regional culture in the bayous of Louisiana, in northern New Mexico, which isn't actually in the show because the show took on a different sort of tilt. But I was able to visit some of the places up there, in Appalachia. In the Mississippi Delta, there's still places where I think most people would say, "Wow, I didn't know that America had this too, that this is America too."
Dan Hoyle is an actor, writer, and performer, and his one-man show is called The Real Americans. He will be in Santa Fe at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center tomorrow and Saturday, October 15th. For tickets, you can call 505-988-1234. Dan, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
And, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be giving away some tickets right now to the Dan Hoyle performance for Saturday night. Please call 428-1259. 428-1259, and maybe you'll get some tickets. We're going to take a little break right now. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned to KSFR.